glorify you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy, Father. Lord, we praise you. And we thank you for the freedom that is in this place, beginning in the place of the new nature, that place which all freedom is reconciled and brought forth. We thank you for that place, Father. We couldn't sing of this external place except that we understand that this internal place, that's the place where there's freedom. We praise you and we give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Father, we pray from the very beginning that this will be a very blessed day for our mothers, for the women of this house, for the mothers specifically. Of course, Lord, you know that this is a man day, that a day that man has set aside. But you said in your word to honor father and mother. You put no prerequisite upon that, whether the mother was a good mother, a bad mother, a wonderful mother, a mother of Christianity, a mother that did not know God. The blatancy of your command was to honor father and mother. And Father, we thank you for mothers that have raised godly children. We thank you for mothers that have been born again after their children have raised, that now are praying for their children into the kingdom. Lord, if someone is listening to the sound of my voice, they have something to be thankful for because their mother brought them forth. She gave birth. She did not destroy them in the womb, but she chose to continue the pregnancy. Thank you, Father. Every one of us have that. And for every mother that's ever had an abortion, or every woman that could have been a mother, your healing power is resident for them. In this outpouring, not only are we praying for the babies, we're praying for those with broken lives as a result of these things, that they stand as healed as well, forgiven and washed forever, Lord, white as snow. We ask you, Lord, to help us in this service honor God and honor our mothers, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you greet one another with a holy hug? Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you for this opportunity as your sons and daughters to come before your presence, to listen to your word, hear your word, manifest your word in power, and to honor our mothers. And we ask you to bless this time, the women in this church and the mothers in this church, and those that will be listening, those that will be hearing, those that will be watching by the YouTube channel. We welcome you to the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee, and we bless this morning, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We've all got something to celebrate today. As the Lord specifically said in that particular prayer at the beginning, someone said, I really appreciated that prayer at the break. And I do too. I appreciate it because the Holy Spirit really just articulated it. But we all have something to be thankful for concerning our mothers. And I think one of the things that is misconstrued so many times is that, well, I didn't have the best of mother, or I didn't have this or that. That's irregardless. It's irregardless. It's irrelevant, I should say, in the command of the Lord. And if there was nothing else that you could possibly just bottom line bullet right down, at least she gave you birth. She gave you birth. You're here as a free will moral agent based on what you want to do now with your life. She gave you birth. So praise God. And even if you were adopted and you didn't know who your natural biological mother was, thank God she gave you birth. Praise God. So we have so much to thank God for. And so this morning, that's what we're going to this morning. We're going to talk about women of the Bible. And I'm going to try to go down through this as pointed as possible, because otherwise we would keep you too long, and we don't want to do that. We want you to share the day, celebrate the day, whether your mother is around you or whether your mother has passed and gone into heaven or your mother is estranged from you. It doesn't matter. Celebrate the day, at least in your heart, concerning Mother's Day. And I think that's a real good thing today to do, because it's honor your father and mother, and we're going to honor mothers today. In general, we're going to talk about women, because in general, that will bring us all in, as far as all the women today. But then specifically, we're going to talk about women in general, but mothers specifically. For women, the reason being for women, and the purpose of, because, as I said from the beginning, which is real rhetorical, to be a mother, you must be a woman first, okay? But there's far more than just the rhetorical statement. It is the understanding that to be a mother, obviously you must be a woman, but out of womanhood, out of the innate in which God created a woman, He brought forth motherhood. In other words, women, now this may sound like the duh of the day, but women are equipped to be mothers. And I'm not just talking about biologically, but there are certain things emotionally, there are certain things the way that women think, whether saved or unsaved, God placed inside of Eve from the very beginning, even before she ever became pregnant, before she came back and showed Adam the test is positive, before that ever happened, there was something in Eve that God placed inside of her at the very beginning that would make her an eventual mother. So whether or not you're sitting in here this morning, and if you've never been a mother, you're too young to be a mother, or you just haven't got married yet and you're not a mother, for all the various reasons, or, you know, it doesn't matter. For the women in here, and even the young women in here, there is or was potentially motherhood inside of you. Does everybody got that? That potential, as in not biological potential, but as in what He placed inside of you. So that part we want to celebrate and go together, understand, and go forth in this message together. We are not, I'm going to say this to start with so we can move kind of rather quickly, and you can follow along in your Bibles or take notes as much as you possibly can, your iPads or your cell phones. You can, now you can look at them. Don't be looking at them before. but you can follow along as much as you possibly can, but I'm going to move kind of quickly so that we can go on to point. We're not able to mention every woman in the Bible, obviously, nor will we be able to read specific excerpts in every example. In most cases, only the Bible reference will be used in general, okay? Hallelujah. How many are still with me? Amen. And again, let's all say this, Happy Mother's Day. Amen. At the end of this, we're going to call up our mothers, and we're going to bless them in prayer, and we're going to obviously give them something to take home today and let you, the remaining part of the congregation, honor our mothers. For mothers specifically, because one of the highest callings in this life is motherhood. Amen. One of the highest possible callings is to be a mother. The word mother in the Hebrew, the Strong's, is, and if you want to look it up later, it's 517, but it is the word am, and it means the bonder of the family. In other words, the specific call, one of the specific calls, one, really, the word mother in itself, and it's amazing. I heard my mom years ago teach on this, and this is where I first heard it, but the word mother, the word father in the Hebrew is the word chief. The word mother is the word am, and it means the bonder of the family. So you are the glue. You're the one that kind of holds everything together. So God gave you an innate anointing as a mother to kind of keep things at peace, you know, and keep things glued together. That's what a good mother does. And one of the greatest things that a mother does is realize their potential to raise godly seed and to raise godly family and to bring up godly children. We're going to do, it's developing. I've already just note after note after note. I'm really excited about a new maybe mini series that we're going about to do. We're going to teach on just, it's just going to be called family, just family. And we're going to go through not my opinions, but we're going to go through what a true family looks like. And we're going to show you, and that is probably going to be after I get back, but we're going to show you from Scripture what a true family looks like and what it should be, I got to watch it because I'm so excited about where we're going. I could get rabbit trailed here, but it doesn't matter how you were raised. Now that you are here, you're first generation. I don't care how your mama daddy did it. He doesn't care. You don't care anymore. We are now going to raise godly seed. Amen? And if the way mama did it, daddy did it, you are not restricted to that. You're not cursed by that. We are first generation revivalist, and we are about to see a great harvest like we've never seen before. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to move right along here in some reading of Scripture. So where do we start? Where would we best start? Let's start with the book of the beginnings, which is Genesis. Hallelujah. Now Genesis 2, Genesis 2:19, and I'm going to read some of this just from my notes to save us time. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. So here we're going to look at the first woman and the first mother, which is, of course, Eve. We'll look at her as we read Scripture. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." I love, this is one of my favorite scriptures here on marriage. Genesis, God himself performed the first marriage. In 2:22, verse 22, it says, "And he brought her unto the man." Here's the first father ever bringing his daughter, Eve's God's daughter. He directly created her. Here's the Father God bringing the daughter to present her to her husband, Adam. The first giveaway. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. It doesn't say that Adam found her. He wasn't just like woke up and was walking around who are you? He didn't find her in the stuff. He didn't find her over in the trees. God brought her. Isn't that wonderful? He brought his daughter, Adam. While you were sleeping, I made you something. And Adam goes, "Whoa. Whoa. Man. Whoa. Man. Whoa." I think I'll call her Whoa Man. That's a good start. He was excited. He had a beautiful wife. Now, the first marriage, God walked her down the aisle. Eve is the mother of us all. The Bible says in the Same right there in Genesis. Look at 3:20. And Adam called his wife, his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. She's the mother of all living. Isn't that amazing? Every human, let me listen to this. Every human being on the face of the planet is from one mother. One mother. From a biological standpoint, everyone is, from a biological standpoint, everyone is your brother or sister. Do you understand that? Now, I have Hispanic brothers out there biologically. I have Haitian, Black, American, African American, but we're different colors. But this is why racism is so horrible. Every single person in this room, God didn't make two. He didn't make two. He didn't make an Adam and Eve and then another couple, or three couples. All he made one couple. Every person in this room, every single person in this room goes back to one mama. We got one mother. Her name is Eve. Every single one of you, even though there have been biological changes, and we can go and show you where those are at, and we're going to teach a creation series also in the future. But every single one of us in this room, biologically, are brothers and sisters. We all came from one mother. Her name was Eve. There's no room for racism, folks. But especially when you get into the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, also I'll add to that this. Though we're biological brothers and sisters, when you go into the New Testament, 90%, this is a figure, it might be 99%, anytime where it talks about brothers or brethren, it's talking about that from a kingdom of God reality. In other words, it's only your brothers now from a kingdom of God reality are only those that are born again. It's not talking about your biological brothers in the world. It's talking about from a kingdom of God reality. Okay? All right, just so you'll understand how to interpret Scripture. So don't get out there on me. Amen. We're biological brothers, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Good stuff. This is why racism is so ridiculous. And so the New Testament, we just talked about that. Number two, here's another lady or ladies, and these are unnamed. You know, some of the best are the unnamed. The four unnamed ladies in the book of Genesis that were Noah's wife, and then the three daughter-in-laws of Noah, which was married to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Those three women, incredible, plus four, Noah's wife, all unnamed, no names, and yet they were the survivors from the first world. And Candy and I, it's amazing. I want to just tell you this. This is when we'll later, we won't get off. God's with us. But we're going to teach some good stuff on creation in the future. I don't know why he did this. I didn't really ask for it. About a few, I don't know how long it's been, I began to get a hunger. The Bible says God gives you the desires of your heart. And that doesn't mean you select something, then you go ask him, can I have this? It means he impregnates things inside of you. That's the desire that he gives you. And then if you follow that desire, it's pretty simple. You will wind up with a success in your life and success in your ministry because he blesses the desires of your heart. In other words, he puts them in there and then he guides you in there. A number of years ago, maybe as long as I can remember, I don't know, I had a real fascination or a desire for creation ministries, and creational science. In other words, all the word that backs up creation. And it's just amazing to me all the things that have been coming together in the last era of my life. We got to go this month up to Dayton, Ohio, and so during that time we made an opportunity to go to the Ark Encounter,
And in the Ark Encounter, you guys need to Google that later, look it up. It's really, really special. It's an exact replica of the Ark. I think they spent like $300 million or something. It's incredible. I don't know if that's the exact figure, but it's an incredible amount. An exact replica of the Ark, 450 feet long. When you walk in there, it's like three or four stories high, and it's got all these stations in there, and it goes. It gives you biblical background and all of the, you know, everything that you need to learn about it. Incredibly enough, the Creation Museum, which was established many, many years earlier by a guy named Ken Ham, he established the Creation Museum. I began to study a year or two ago from men like Russ Miller that are just creational scientists that really have a strong appeal to salvation and the born again. It's a born again doctrine that they're teaching, and so I was listening to these guys, and then I was able to go from the Ark Encounter over to the Creation Museum and walk through that. Well, the amazing part when I got out to the end of it, in the bookstore, and I don't know if he's ever there. Ken Ham was in the bookstore and he was signing books, and we bought a couple of books and we got a chance to take a picture of it with him. And this month, we're going to get a chance to one of the biggest geological proofs to the flood in America is the Grand Canyon. And so we've also scheduled a Grand Canyon creational tour at the end of this month. But what I'm saying about that is this: it's amazing all this stuff that's come together just in 1 month's time. But as we went through the Ark Encounter, some things begin to dawn on us about the labor of not only the men, but some of it was supposition. In other words, there was only what we had scripture on, but then we actually had exact scripture on what they took into the ark, not just animals, but do you know they took all kinds of seed into the animal, into the ark, and they had to take all kinds of grain. They were in there 1 year. Just a little bit over 1 year, if you study that out, just a little bit over a year, they were floating. And even, well, they landed, and there was weeks before they actually could leave. Those ladies, they worked as hard as the men. Now, parts of that was supposition, because you can only imagine what those four women were doing. There's only eight souls on there. But as they're there, Noah was 100 years in building it. 1 year it was afloat. But as they were there, those women were actually feeding the animals, cleaning the stalls, doing whatever else. These four women actually were the reason why we're here today, really. I mean, God destroyed all the old, and he starts over with new, and he's got four women. One has already born all the children she's going to have. Her three sons are there. But these three daughter-in-laws come off the ark, and then they perpetuate the rest of the earth. It's from them that all the nations come. But thank God for the unnamed. Amen? They were willing. See, what we're doing here is we're not just giving you information. In this message, I hope that you understand this. We're giving an appreciation for women, but also we're giving an identification. So that if there's some part of this that you're looking at and say, wow, that's pretty neat, go and study it, because it may have an identification that God encourages you as a lady. Now, I'm talking to the ladies, men, this morning, but you just happen to be here, and I hope that you get something out of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, these women, actually fantastic heroes, the women of the Ark. The next one, number three, I want to mention is Sarah, the wife, Abraham's wife. I will just make these observations and read this. Sarah was very beautiful, the Word says. She was barren. All the years that her and Abraham were married, we find out later that it was the two of them could never have children. You know, we won't get into the story of Hagar, but he could reproduce, because as soon as he was with another woman, he did produce. So it was on her part that there was something wrong biologically with her, and she could not produce. She was brokenhearted for many, many years because she couldn't produce. At 90 years old, she received the promise, and she conceived and had a child. So, and here's the other neat part about that is this is after when the Genesis cutoff was. This is after Noah. This is in the next world, the world that we live in, and also the biological premise can work in this side of the flood like it did for all biblical examples. So this woman was 90 years old and got pregnant. Any of you women that are married, don't think you're ever too old. Watch out. Somebody, oh my God. Genesis 18:9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And these are angels speaking, and the Lord is with them actually. And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the door, in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in years. Now he's like 99 then. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. You women understand what that means. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, I am waxed old, and shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. So she's like, I don't think me and Abe are going to get it together anymore. Okay? That's impossible. And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child of whom, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Okay? So Sarah is a wonderful lady. She's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 as she received faith, the Bible says, to conceive a child. Now, obviously, I'm just jesting with you ladies. There's no reason why at an older age that God's going to perform that miracle again. But how many of you ladies can sympathize with Sarah and say, at 90, I'd laugh too. That would not, but it wouldn't a laughing matter. It would have been a laughing matter. Number four, Rebecca. Rebecca is a wonderful example. In Genesis chapter 24:14, the Bible, I'm just going to tell you this story just real quick. Sarah, the woman we just mentioned, has died. Abraham's still alive. He doesn't want his son, Isaac, to marry any of the neighboring nations. Women, and he gets his servant, he says, go back to where we're from and find a woman that is from that tribe, from that group, and bring her back here for my son Isaac. And so he goes away and he puts this fleece before the Lord, and he says, we'll read a little bit of this, and he travels these many days, and he says, when I get to the well, and I, Lord, I pray whoever's the first one that comes out, woman that comes out, and when if I say to her, would you, you know, we'll read it here because I might have it wrong. Would you water my camel train and or give me water? And if she offers to do the such and such, this will be the woman. Well, the story is Rebecca is the lady in waiting, and she not only does what his prayer petitioned. But then afterwards, they find out that they have a connection. She invites him home. And, of course, he comes with a camel train. Read the story later. It's fantastic. He gives her all. He goes, I've come here on a mission. And he starts giving her all this jewelry and earrings and necklaces and stuff. Now, that's pretty cool. How many ladies would say, yeah, I like that guy already. You know, he's already. So it says here in Genesis 24:14, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my servant Isaac. Therefore, for thy servant Isaac, because this is his servant, Abraham's servant, that's doing this. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the son of Nabor, Abraham's brother, which with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. What does that mean? She was a hottie. She was pretty. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had a man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And, I'm just going to skip. Genesis 24:57. Okay, so, because I'm pulling the story along quicker. 24:57, so after he had presented all this stuff and went and told his story to her father and the family, they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth," because of what they were asking, "Do you want to go?" And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Isn't that amazing? "I will go." And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, and this is moving forward, Genesis 24:63. I'm sorry if I didn't mention. He went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil, covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is an incredible story, and what a hero. This woman actually hears from God, because this her motivation is like, this guy comes to the house, he presents them with gifts and says, "My master has sent me, will you let her go?" And they said, well, they actually got him to stay, you know, a day or so. And the next day he says, "I need to go." And they want him to stay a week or something like that. And he says, "I really need to get back. My master is getting old. He sent me for his son. Can we go?" And he said, "We don't know. Let Rebekah answer for herself. Bring in Rebekah. Rebekah, will you go?" She goes, "Yeah, I'll go. I'll go." Something was in her heart. And so she'd never seen Isaac, never seen him. And yet, our lineage, all of us are in here today as a born-again trail, not as Jewish people, but our born-again trail came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we can't ever forget the mothers. Rebecca is the mother of Jacob, in which the lineage came, and something was in her heart. This is amazing to me, because it's like, I do counseling. I believe in premarital counseling. I'm an advocate of it. I'm like, yes, we need to do that if you come here for. But we also have scriptural reference that if God's in it, he's in it from the get-go. I mean, she never saw him, and that was it. God put it in her heart. Is that truth? Yes. I just read it to you. She never saw him, and the implication is, They get married that night. He's like, he's walking in the field, he's meditating. Now you can get real scriptural with this. What was he meditating? The word. There was no word. Hadn't been written yet. Okay. Not even the Old Testament had been written yet. Okay, there's no scriptural word. They did know about a God in Abraham. Okay. So Abraham is before Moses. He's 430 years before Moses, or more than that here, because this is Isaac. There's no word at all. What's he meditating? Well, he may be thinking about God. He may be thinking about just the passing of his mother. But he's probably thinking about, what is he bringing me? I hope he's bringing me a... And when they come around the curve and over the mountain, it's like she goes, "Who's that guy down in the pasture?" And he's basically like, "That's the guy we're bringing you to." And that's it. And I guess Isaac's like, "Whoa, you did good." Because the word said she was very fair. He's like, "Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. This is good stuff." So thank God for Rebekah. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? Are you learning stuff? If you're learning stuff, you're getting stuff. Hallelujah. Number five, I love this one. Rahab the harlot, which was, if we had time, we would break this down. And we've done it before. She is actually the grandmother of somebody very, very important. His name is Jesus. She's in his lineage. This harlot, ex-harlot, marries a man after Jericho falls. She marries a man in the camp of Israel, which is traced down through Christ's lineage. Isn't this amazing? This is a wonderful, this is information, but it's also identification for many women who look at the mother of Jesus and say, that's the epitome of all women. And she's wonderful. She's a virgin. We've also got an ex-harlot in the lineage of Jesus. And I think that's so beautiful. Because Jesus' blood, the picture of it is he forgives everything. Hallelujah. So Rahab is a wonderful illustration. She put the scarlet robe, rope down, and there's two guys come in to Jericho. Well, why did they not question when they saw him go into a harlot's house? That's the only place they could have gone, really. Now, they didn't have any affair with her. We know that from Scripture. But strangers could have went in, scarlet, red, that's where you get red light districts, if you've never heard that. All of you have heard that. Okay, don't ask. Red light district, scarlet robe, rope. She says, I'm going to hang it, and nobody thought anything about it when those two guys go in there. They're going in there, for other purposes. They were men of God. She concealed them, and that's how the first city ever fell when they were going into Jericho. But I think the most incredible part is that Jesus Christ, great, 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 great grandmother, was an ex-prostitute. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Every woman should rejoice in that, knowing the beauty of Jesus' salvation. Number six, Ruth. I love the story of Ruth because Ruth is one of those women. She's also like Rebecca. Ruth, just when she marries Boaz, Ruth is like a grandmother or great-grandmother of a very famous king. His name is David. And Ruth is one of those ones where she just goes and she marries a man she didn't know. But yet she followed her leading. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 14, it says, this is the story, is that Ruth, this woman Naomi, went with her husband and her two sons into a foreign land. All three men died. All three men died of disease. The two sons had already married women in that country. And so when all the men, the father of the two sons and the two sons, when all of them died, Naomi decides to go back to her country. And she dismisses her two daughter-in-laws to say, okay, you guys were good daughter-in-laws, but I understand I'm going to leave you like I found you. You can go back. Verse 1 or verse 14 of Ruth says, and they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back into her people and into her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave or to return from following after thee. For whither, and this is what is quoted many times at weddings, but it's a very powerful passage, far greater than what people give it pretense to most of the time. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Now, her God was not Jehovah. It was not. But she made a pledge, and she became a grandmother to the great King David. And this is amazing that this woman, what she did, whether thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord God do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfast-minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So Naomi said, okay. Number 7, Esther. I love the story of Esther. Esther 4:14, this is a famous scripture as well. If thou altogether holdest thy peace, this is her uncle speaking to her. This is Esther that saved the whole Jewish race because it was about to be another Holocaust. There had already been given a edict to say you can go and kill these people at will. But Esther, being a Jewish girl, but what yet was there in Persia, under a Persian king, I believe. It was Babylonian Persia. It was Persian. They flipped back and forth. And this guy needs a new queen because his queen has disrespected him. And I'm giving you the gist of the story. They hold a beauty pageant. Esther wins the beauty pageant, and she's chosen. And so as the queen, she has power with the king. And her uncle, Mordecai, says this to her, "For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall there enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And so this is a famous scripture too, where he says to her, "Esther, God has basically brought you along in all your beauty and all of your personality and everything that you are for such a time as this." We've got young ladies in here. We've got women in here, older. We've got middle-aged and older. This is the time. I don't care. We're stepping into revival. And for such a time as this, you're on the earth. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now, help me, ladies. Samuel's mother is number 8 that I have. Her name is Hannah. 1 Samuel 2:27. "For this child I pray," she was another woman that was barren, "but she made a promise to the Lord that if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you." 1 Samuel 1:27, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. So the story is, we can't go into it all, but once she conceived, she was years barren. She made a promise to the Lord, "If you give me a child, I'll give him back to you." As soon as she weaned him and he got old enough, she brought him to the house of God and gave him to the priest and said, "He's yours. I've lent him to you." Now, mothers, you don't have to send your children to a monastery or give them to a priesthood, but I can tell you this, the greatest thing you can ever do is give them back to God. Give them all the way back to God and say, "I'm not going to manipulate their life. Their life is going to be exactly what God wants them to be. God, I'll give them everything they need to prepare their minds and their spirits for what you're going to call them to be, but Lord, I'm giving them back to you." And that doesn't mean they have to stand on a stage or as a preacher or a prophetess, but they should all be given back to God. Amen? Amen. Mothers, don't control your children as in what they will be. Discipline as in where they should be going, but let God bring forth the calling. Amen. Another very strong woman was, we're into the judges part, kind of taking you through a chronology. A very strong woman, number 9, is Deborah. Deborah is in Judges 4:4, and Deborah, the prophet, she was also a prophetess. She was a judge and a prophetess. The wife of this guy here, Lippadoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under a palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came unto her for judgment. See, women can judge. Hallelujah. They can make good judgment. And Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is it," or in Judges 4:14, jumping a little bit, there was this guy named Syria. It sounds like Syria. This guy was called, he was going to destroy the Jews, and he was fighting against them. And God was used this woman, Deborah, but he used her as a judge to stir up a man to go do what a man should do, is to fight in the battle. And as a result of it, she's under this tree, and she's in this, or this is where she lives. She's not just sitting under a tree. This is where she lives, and Israel's coming to her place of where she lives for judgment. God was giving her judgment. God was giving her wisdom to speak. And he tells her here in verse 14, and Deborah said unto Barak, up, in other words, get up, go forward, for this is the day which the Lord has delivered Sirus into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. So the Lord used this woman to say, men, let's get going. Hallelujah. Glory. Do y'all need to stand up? Hallelujah. Praise you. Here's one of my favorite, and I hope, now, we've got some strong women in here. Any woman that's after revival is not squeamish, okay? Not squeamish. You can't be squeamish in a revivalist. You've got to be a Deborah or a Jael. A Jael is one of my favorite. I guess you ladies would know this because it's kind of a man thing, but this lady's tough as nails. And when I say tough as nails, I mean tough as nails. The guy that Deborah said to Barak, you got to go get him because he's killing men, women, and children. He's going to destroy us. You got to raise up. And he got 10,000 guys, and he goes after him. He doesn't get to him first. He goes to the home of Jael. In his pursuit by the army, he goes to this woman's home, and it's in Numbers chapter 10. No, I'm sorry. This is number 10. It's Jael. And it's in Judges chapter 4. You can write this down. Howbeit Sirius fled away on his feet, and he went to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabir, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went unmet Sirah, and said unto him, turn in, my lord. Now this lady says, they're looking for him. This is, I mean, they have fought all these guys, have killed a lot in the battle, and he's the king. She said unto him, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. So he's like, wow. You know, he's been running all day long from these guys. The army is, you know, been defeated by Barak's army. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened her bottle of milk and gave him to drink and covered him. Like, he's exhausted, he's hungry, and he's so weary, he's trying to escape from his life. So she feeds him, covers him up, and he said to her, stand at the door of the tent. Now, this is a bad guy, okay? This is like ISIS guy, really, if we had time to read it. This is like an ISIS guy. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and it shall be when if any man come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here, that thou shalt say, no. You don't tell him I'm here. So he's covered. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. Now, obviously, he's sleeping. And took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, very softly, very softly, very softly, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. That's a tough woman. That's a godly woman. That's a woman where squeamish men wouldn't do what they should have been doing. And so she takes and says, okay, this man here would have killed my children. This man here would kill other children. And I'm not wanting you women to go start nailing men's heads to the floor. I'm just telling you, women can be tough. Women can be tough when they have to be. Hallelujah. Women can be Barbie dolls and princesses, but in the kingdom of God, they can cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, and they don't have to be treated like little crystal glasses that are ready to break. They can be fearless as these women were. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Number 11, we won't turn there, but this is where a lot of ministers would minister on this day from Proverbs 31, and they would teach about that you women are the Proverbs 31 woman. I would say to you, please disregard all of that. You are not a Proverbs 31 woman. You don't have to live up to that. That is something that men who don't read the Word and understand the Word have taken other men's renditions of the Proverbs 31 woman. That is a picture of the whole church at large. You are not a Proverbs 31 woman. You don't have to live up to Proverbs 31. You're part of the church. Hallelujah. You just got to be who you are. Hallelujah. Whatever your call is, just be who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. That was good. Amen. Number 12 is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do we love Mary? Yes, we do. Hallelujah. And this is, I think, boils down to how much we appreciate Mary. She was a virgin when she conceived. But I will say this. Now listen, okay? We love Mary. We respect Mary. We thank God she was a virgin when she conceived. But the Bible says Joseph knew her not until after she had delivered. Sometime after she healed, her and Joseph got together, okay? And she had other children. Mary did not go to heaven as a virgin. Mary enjoyed the same marital life that any godly woman should enjoy with her husband. Amen? Hallelujah. The religion that makes sex dirty has dirty people preaching it. Sex is beautiful in the marriage bed. And sometimes people like, oh God, he said it in church. Listen, mothers, another thing that you need to teach, even the boys when they're growing up, is the motherly side of godly sex. Now, you don't have to go into extreme detail, but I've found this, and I've watched this through the years. The families that had, don't say that. The families that couldn't talk about it, they went on to produce children who had dysfunctional families. And it's one of the most beautiful things that God ever created. It should be open in the home. There is modesty in the home. There are certain things that are behind closed doors that only mom and daddy talk about. But if your children come with an honest question, give them an honest answer. Don't make it dirty. Make it beautiful. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. And you'll keep them from being dysfunctional. They would, obviously. Don't let them learn themselves. Parents be teachers. Not the internet. Not family. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good stuff, Pastor. Thank you. I'll give myself a high five on that. Thank you. Amen. This is a famous quote of Mary's. This is what she said. And I think this personifies Mary. Luke 1:38. And Mary said, after the angel said, you're going to receive, you know, you're going to bear. And she goes, she asked the question, I've never had sex with a man. I've never known a man. How's this going to happen? And he said, the Spirit of God's going to come on you. You're going to conceive. And she said this, and Mary said, this is one of the greatest thing that Mary could have done. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. In other words, Mary was like, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Now that's why we salute Mary. Praise God. She was a beautiful instrument. She had to be a virgin, but she yielded her body and said, I don't understand this, but God, you're going to impregnate me. God, your spirit's going to come in me. I don't understand it, but be it unto me. I receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. We're doing good. You'll be out by 12. Number 13, Mary and Martha. They're heroes. They're heroes of mine. I preached a message on... And I wrote this down so anybody that's listening could go back in 2016, and it was preached on January 31st, 2016. I think it's number 8, and it's number 8 as far as I don't have that written down, but I think my memory serves me right. It's number 8. And I preached a message called, we can't go into it, Mary versus Martha. All my life, most every time I've ever heard the Mary-Martha thing, Martha got the bad end of the deal. And it was always preachers, and everybody was always, they just used that as a hammer to say, oh, you're being your workings. Oh, don't you love spiritual things. Stop being a Martha. You need to be a Mary. God gave us a beautiful teaching on that, Mary versus Martha. And I remember I was so blessed that day. I was walking out and Mavis called me and she goes, Pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, that was one of the best messages that I have ever heard. And I said, thank you so much. Hallelujah. She's giving me the wave down now, because it really shows the perspective of the both. And Martha had her part just as strong, and really, once you see it, is just as spiritual as Mary was. Really, because we give some quotes out of the Bible that where Martha was at. But all I can say is I advertise that message. Go. It'll set you free. If you've ever been condemned by other, there's both sides. There's the dreamy-eyed, and they love God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, but really, you should be a Mary and a Martha. A Mary and a Martha, because they both have wonderful qualities. The Marys that have been like this too far, they're like, I know there's stuff that needs to be done, but somebody will do it. Those disobedient Marthas over there, they'll do it. And Martha's over there going, you flower child, you in the sky, pie in the sky, head in the sky, you want to just, you need to come down. People will starve if you stay up there all day long. The house will not get cleaned. Mary versus Martha. It's good. Listen to it. Hallelujah. Number 14, we did that one this morning. The givers in Jesus' ministry, women entrepreneurs. I'm not going to read Luke 8 again because we already did. But they were women that gave, and some of them gave without their husbands knowing it. Hallelujah. But they were givers into the ministry. Praise the Lord. Number 15 was Lois and Eunice, and that is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and this is what Paul said to Timothy. He said this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So what we have here is that the reason why Timothy was so used by God as an understudy of Paul is that he had good roots. His mama and his grandmother, I don't know, there was no mention of his dad, no mention of, listen, we obviously know that homes are best when there's both sides, mom and dad. That's obvious. And mothers, I salute all any single mothers in here or any mothers who had deceased husbands and you've had to raise your children. Thank you so much for the job that you've done. God is with you. It's the best thing. It's the absolute best thing for both to be there. It just is hard for it to work. And there's something missing if there's not a daddy there. But Paul said here, Eunice and Lois are the reason why, because they had a foundation inside of them of godliness and love for God, and they put that inside of you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I'm just going to mention real quickly, just give reference. In Romans 16:3, there was Priscilla, and Paul referred to her as a helper in Christ. I just want to mention this, and then we want to honor our mothers, is that Galatians 4:26 says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Hallelujah. What that is saying is that the Jerusalem, now there's no physical city that is the mother, but what it's saying is this, is because of what Christ has done for us and his ascension, sitting at the right hand of the Father, that born-again life that we live now in Christ Jesus, where he is at in that new Jerusalem, that is our conception. That is who we are. That's our identification. That's why when it refers to brothers and sisters, that's our mother. That is that whole born-again, what we call the born-again trail. That's what conceived us. That's the mother of us all. All of our identification is in that. Praise the Lord. So all you moms, you have an awesome calling, awesome responsibility, and we appreciate you so much. Amen. Can you guys put this up there? I'm going to ask everyone, let's stand together. And then I'm going to call our mothers up, please, if you will come to the front of the auditorium and just stand here. We've often said this in days gone by, if you are not a biological mother, but you have helped raise children, and that's the case in many different ways, if you'll please. Would you please come? Okay, all of our moms. And if you've had a help in any way, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Great group. Maybe you guys can just squeeze around that side just a little bit more close to that pillar, and that way this group can kind of pull itself around. Just scooch. You know the word scooch, right? Just a little bit. There you go. As much as possible. Oh, wow. What would we do without our mothers? Well, I know this morning we wouldn't have had a congregation. That's pretty cool. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Candy, why don't you and your daughters, why don't you pass out the flowers? Let's just take a few moments to worship God. Hallelujah. Mothers, we love you. We appreciate every one of you. Every one of you deserve a bouquet instead of a rose, but let this symbolize our appreciation for you this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we worship you. Would you just stretch your heart's faith? You can do that with an expression of your heart or your hands this way towards these beautiful women. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for the prophetic prayer. I pray for the prophetic prayer, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we worship you. Yes, sir. Lord, I speak life over these women. I speak blessing over their lives. Some are very close to you. Some are in a marginal place. And if there's any of them here that does not know you, I don't know that. If there's anybody, that any of these women that do not know you, I pray today that decision is made sure by the expression of salvation, which comes by a simple confession. Jesus, I ask you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. But to everyone and to each of these, Lord, whether they are close or whether they are far away from you in relationship or as in fellowship, I'm asking that you will bring them, each one, into that place of intimate fellowship. Some have looked at their failures of the past. Some have had that as a hallmark, as a place of how they judge themselves. I pray that today and in the days ahead, that through the fellowship of your Spirit and Word, beginning now in this prayer, that they will begin to release to you all failures of the past, all failures of them concerning themselves personally, all failures concerning anything that they felt that they left out in the leadership or are presently leaving out in the leadership of motherhood. And I pray that, Lord, that you'll restore a strength inside of them and an intimacy and even a reassurance, Lord, that you are able to go to any places that may be a breach in their life or a breach in the way that they've raised their children, and that you are able through prayer to restore. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you'll heal their hearts and their minds. And Lord, especially as we pray today, that if there are any of them that have anything that is in their bodies that they know about, or even something that they don't know about, whether that is a personal thing or whether that is an open thing, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, we curse every infirmity. We command it to die in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that, Lord, that the life of Christ will be made manifest inside of them, in Jesus' name. I command disease. I command any abnormal thing, anything that Satan would try to come. In the name of Jesus, there is no generational curse, and there is nothing that stands between them and health. I command life and release life into their bodies in Jesus' name. And if any of them stand here with oppression, I command that oppression to come off their minds in Jesus' name. If any of them stand here with any frailties in their bodies, any weaknesses, I command it to come off in the name of Jesus. And the life of God to be made manifest. I pray that their memories will be restored to, Lord, that anything that is anxious about things in the past or the way they regrets, any regrets concerning their mothers or their fathers, that life will restore those regrets and peace will be manifest in their hearts and minds. For any of the young women that are here that desire more children, that are here believing you, that are married and believe you for more children, God bless their womb. Even for young women that are out there that are married, that are not standing here because they're not yet mothers, in that hour that they desire, if they desire, God bless them with motherhood in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for your grace over their lives. Bring forth I pray in them an abundance of a desire to raise, if any of them are here with children still in their home, that they will continue to direct their household and be the bonders of the home, that they will bring peace. They won't stir their home up in any kind of division, but they will be the ones who bring peace and life. Father, bless these mothers, our mothers that are among us today. Bless them. May this be a wonderful day, and may the power of God rest upon their life. And even to the mothers that are out there listening and watching today, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give our mothers a great big hand. Hallelujah. If you can, if your mother is still alive and she doesn't live here, she's out of town, call her today. You need to call your moms. Hallelujah. All right. God bless you. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.